Steve Bertrand here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Good Friday afternoon, everyone. Usually have this seat on Saturday afternoons. Bob and Mary Ann are having a long weekend, so they're not in today. I'll be with you for the next hour or so. Coming up a little later in the program, Scott Kleinberg will be here. You know, he writes about social media for the Chicago Tribune. I want to ask him, there's a apparently, I didn't even know this site exists, but there was a site that would collect embarrassing tweets from politicians, and then they would post them in sort of a way to keep politicians honest. That would be the kind way, or maybe just a way to embarrass politicians, probably more likely. But Twitter ordered them to take that down, so we'll revisit that a little bit later today. We'll go to Highwood, where there is the first ever in this country, Redhead Festival. It's something that a guy, restaurant owner in Highwood, stumbled upon. He biked upon it, actually. He was biking from Amsterdam to Oktoberfest in Munich, and being a redhead himself, was drawn to this redheaded festival in the Netherlands, and they've decided to bring it to Highwood. So that's coming up a little bit later. But as we do on Fridays, we start with Blue Sky. John Carpenter from the Tribune is here with Blue Sky Innovation. John, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Great to be here.
All right, so the king and queen of the Netherlands, maybe it's a Dutch theme today.
Yeah.
In town this week.
You know, they were in town, and, you know, at Blue Sky, because we cover startups, we get invited to events all the time, every single day of the week, and most of them are pretty boring. But when I get an invitation that says the king and the queen of the Netherlands will be there, it's kind of a... You kind of have to go. So,
what was it like?
You know, it was really good. It was at Northwestern, and you know, to be fair to Northwestern, they were talking about something pretty important. They're collaborating. Their researchers are collaborating with Dutch researchers and Dutch entrepreneurs and American entrepreneurs to kind of commercialize some health tech business. But the king and the queen were there, and you know, you got to all sorts of attendants wearing orange ties, which apparently is the color of the Netherlands.
The day before was that national against gun violence.
Everyone
was wearing orange.
And
the next day, the Dutch were in town. So
right. Well, you know, it was kind of interesting to me. You know, we don't have a king and a queen. My sort of orientation of the king and the queen is England, like most people. So I was trying to figure out, are these like rock stars, like, you know, Prince Charles? And apparently, there's something in the middle. In the Netherlands, they're definitely celebrities, and they're, you know, they are the royals,
right,
but a little bit more low key. But a lot of security, although not as much security as you would get for, like, President Obama. But, you know, sort of protocol, like attendance. You know, they had people lined up ready to greet them when they came in. They definitely... You knew instantly that they were a king and a queen when they walked in. You know, they're very well dressed, but sort of had that air of...
There's a stature, isn't there?
Yeah. Right. You know, the waving, but, you know, this they look like people are constantly looking at and who are constantly being photographed, and, you know, they're very comfortable in that. But, you know, they were definitely kings and a queen.
And they're here, so they were here for a number of things. But one of the things they're announcing, this sort of joint venture with Northwestern.
Yeah, yeah. I actually talked to the professor who was sort of the nexus of it. He's a Dutch-born professor at Northwestern, a researcher in robotics. And as often happens with things like this, I think some collaborations kind of grew, and so they formalized it. I think there are going to be 7 professors from the Netherlands working side by side with doctors here in Chicago. And the idea, as with any kind of research or learning or innovation opportunity, the more people you bring into it, the more chances there are to accelerate things quickly. And one of the things that Northwestern is pretty good at is trying to hook those researchers up with people who are looking for business opportunities, because really one of the fastest ways to take medical research and get it to people is to have somebody try and turn it into a successful business, so you can, you know, have the motivation of making some money to generate revenue.
All right, so there we are in early June. Later this June is Tech Week 2015,
right?
And Tech Week Chicago, they came out with their top 100.
Right. It's top 100 is kind of an interesting number, because it's actually a list of more than 100 people, but it's based on 100 organizations. So every time I see Tech Week 100, I think, okay, this is going to be 100 people.
Not so much,
160 or something.
But there are more women on it this year.
A lot more women on it this year. What happened last year?
And they don't have a come hither look.
No, right. So you remember the controversy last year. You know, Tech Week is an excellent, you know, sort of celebration of the tech scene. Lots of panel discussions, lots of keynotes, lots of networking. You know, know, definitely lots of parties and social events. And what happened last year was they create this list of sort of top people on the tech scene, and then leading up to Tech Week, they sent out an invitation for one of the parties, and it had these sort of scantily clad young women, and it really kind of fed into the kind of tech bro
right.
attitude, which is, you know, I think correctly cited as one of the reasons that that the tech sector doesn't attract more, you know, talented women. And so what happened was some very important people on that Tech 100 list said to them, look, take my name off that list because I don't really want to be associated with this. So they kind of recovered from that. And then this year, they went from, I think, 18 women on the list last year to more than 50 this year. So they really made an effort to include women. And there, you know, it's still an issue. There probably aren't enough women in leadership positions in tech, but there definitely are some very smart and very successful women on the tech scene.
So. And when they seek them out to find them and amplify them in a way,
right.
that's only going to help down the road.
Yeah. Well, it's first of all, it's the right thing to do. You know, you want to find the best and the brightest, and you don't just want to look for the, you know, the loud, you know, dudes who are running the tech scene, but it's correct, you know, it's good to get a good list, but it also, I think, is really important, as with any everybody looks towards mentors and examples, and certainly a woman doesn't have to have a woman mentor and a man doesn't have to have a man mentor, but it's certainly easier for a woman to see a future for herself if she sees CEOs and really successful women being recognized.
John Carpenter from Blue Sky Innovation at the Tribune. Nice to see you again. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. Thanks.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. 3 years ago, Jim Stoker decided to go on a European adventure, biking from Amsterdam to Oktoberfest in Munich. A lot of people come home from trips like that with a slideshow. Jim came home with the festival, and he joins us now on WGN. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you again. So, I should say we know each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Over pizza and things like that. And so I remember years ago, we shared the same health club, and I would run into you, and you would talk about you were going to take this trip just to bike across Europe or across parts of it. And I remember that. And then lo and behold, I'm reading in the Tribune, I think, last week, that you came back with this redheaded festival. What's that about?
Well, yeah, you know, I flew to Amsterdam with my little duffel bag and my saddle bags and a tent and a sleeping pad, and my plan was to meander across Europe over the course of a month. You know, I turned off my phone, I didn't use GPS, I didn't even buy a map, and my goal was to roll into Munich on the day that Oktoberfest started. Well, the third day of my trip, I'm riding out of Amsterdam to a town called Utrecht and checking into a hostel, and I'm asking the lady, where do I ride tomorrow? And she says, well, there's a lovely town south of here called Breda. And so I start sending couch surfing requests to people who live in that town, and the first lady who answered me said, I would love to host you, but I'm all full because of the red-haired festival.
And you being of red hair, you had a light bulb go off over your head.
Yeah, I was just going to spend one night there because I was anxious to get to Belgium to drink Trappist Monk Ale. But I decided to spend the whole weekend because the next day started the three-day Breda Redhead Festival.
All right, let's start. Let's go back a little bit. So you're early 50s, and you decide to make this trip. What was that about? Why did you decide to do such a thing?
Well, mid-50s, actually. Well, because I'd never really done anything fun, adventurous when I was younger because I was always working for my family business, unloading railroad cars or whatever. So I never went to spring break. I never backpacked across Europe or anything. And so I had the ability, and I'd found bicycling as my sport, and so I just needed an adventure. So I'd ridden bikes in Europe before, and I knew how fun it was, and I just decided to clear my schedule for a month and meander my way across Europe.
And then you're in Breda, and you're surrounded by people with red hair.
Yeah, I'd been a redhead my whole life, of course, and I'd never been around more than a handful. And here I was in groups of thousands, and it was, you know, made me feel different about being a redhead.
Did you share the language?
Well, they speak English.
Yeah.
You know, I speak a little German. I used to work for a German company, and Dutch is very similar to that, so I can read it and get by a little bit. They speak English very well there.
I just wonder, a guy on his own, surrounded by a bunch of redheads in a mood for a party, how you mixed in, but I guess it was okay.
Yeah, we did okay. I actually participated in the redhead pub crawl. And it was an English-speaking group, about 20 of us, and I bonded particularly well with some 20-something French kids. They were in their 20s, and
we had
a good time.
Everybody does, I think, yeah. But one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program, you know, we talk about business and all of that, but Highwood, and you're a business owner in Highwood, Alex is Washington Gardens, the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Highwood does just a remarkable job, I think, at this sort of festival and bringing people in and giving people a new reason to come in and sample their businesses. And this weekend, then, is that, because this Redhead Festival in the Netherlands was looking to expand, and you're bringing it to the States. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, Highwood is very supportive. Highwood has a great business community and a great city council and mayor. And fortunately, we have a great public relations firm, Ripple Public Relations, and they just do a great job promoting all these festivals, including mine.
And so what will happen this weekend? You don't have to be red-haired to show up, right?
No, it's redheads and all their admirers, or people that want to be redheads and have dyed their hair. Everybody's included. It's basically a gathering. It's going to be on the City Hall lawn, which is directly across from my restaurant, where they've had many other festivals. And we're going to have some food and some drinks and some music and hopefully good weather. And I just want people to be able to hang out with other redheads just like I experienced in Breda. I mean, the redheads themselves are the show.
All right, that's Jim Stoker, and after the show, maybe stop by for some pizza at Alex's Washington Gardens, right, Jim?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good luck to you. I think that weather's going to be just fine for you.
Thank you. I hope so. Take care.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, thank you, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch this Friday afternoon. Bob and Marianne have the day off, but Scott Kleinberg doesn't, from the Chicago Tribune, writes about social media, and he works seven days a week pretty much. Right, Scott?
Yes, indeed.
Because you love your job.
I do. I love my job very much.
All right, so I'm reading, you know, the different topics that we might talk about, and I see this polito whoops.
I keep saying polito whoops. It's more fun to say it that way.
So I had no idea this existed, and I'm sorry, because now it's gone.
Yeah, it was this project that's been around since 2012, and basically they collect all of the tweets that politicians tweet that they don't want you to see, the ones that are deleted. And Twitter came out and said that this is now in violation of our terms of service, and they shut the project down.
So the idea is that a lot of us tweet out things in haste, or sometimes just not thought through, or
yep,
spelled incorrectly or something like that, that we take down.
Yep.
And this group would just continuously monitor these people, so they saved everything.
Yep, they saved everything. That they just assumed that once you deleted it would be gone. We always say that when you once it's out there, it's out there. Deleting,
right,
doesn't make any difference. In this case, you know, they were trying to hold politicians accountable for the things that they said.
Well, that's what they say, but
that's
really
what they say. Yes,
they're probably
exactly
really just trying to have a little fun with them, right? And
well,
embarrass
that could
them
be. But this is a kind of a big project that's been going on for a long time, so it seems like, you know, they were pretty deep into it. They worked out a thing with Twitter to, you know, keep it going, and then years later they just came back and said now it violates our terms of service and it's not something they're gonna reconsider.
So why? What's the violation? Or do we know why Twitter pulled it?
It's a privacy issue. Twitter says that everybody who uses Twitter has a right to expect privacy, and privacy includes being able to delete something that you want to delete. But this foundation that backs it came right back and said that a member of Congress does not and should not have the same expectation of privacy as a private citizen.
Okay, so I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but
that's
so
okay.
This is something that would have been tweeted out at one time or another.
Yes.
So it was public and the tweeter made it public.
Yes, that is correct. It was out there. Yep.
So I don't really buy that privacy thing. I think they're just trying to get away from the heat from the politicians.
Oh, that could very well be the case. But Twitter is also changing fine print and then coming back and, you know, changing everything around. So that part didn't surprise me one bit.
So what's the thing you've been writing about Twitter and Google and you want to see them at the altar?
Yeah, I've been saying that for the longest time. I think it would make perfect sense for Google to buy Twitter. Google tried to do the whole social media thing with Google Plus. Google Plus still exists, but it's not a social platform. It's not a successful social platform. And I've been saying for the longest time that they should merge or find a way to merge.
Is Google Plus, those are the circles and the...
Yes.
That, yeah, right.
Yes. And the fact that you knew that, you know, most people don't even know the circles are there.
I have a Gmail account. They're always asking me, or I'm seeing things popping up, and I'm like, I don't have time for you right now.
But that seems to be exactly where the problem is. They just assumed that if you use Google, you were going to want to use Google Plus. And for
right
the longest time, they made it so when you sign signed up for a Gmail account, you had to have a Google Plus account. They took that away because people are like, what is this? So, you know, they wanted to make a go of something successful socially, and this would be a great thing. And now it's one of their investors that are saying that they should do it, and you know, whether or not that ever happens, I don't know, but it does make sense.
So Google did something out of it, and Twitter just gets a big fat paycheck out of it?
Well, it would be that, but I think they could certainly work together. I think it's something where they could take, you know, a little bit of the best of Google, a lot of the best of Twitter. You know, like Google has Hangouts, which are like these incredible video conferences with multiple people. You could totally work that into like
Twitter
a Twitter type of thing and
especially
make it like
when
a live
we're
thing.
Talking about Periscope and things like that.
Yeah,
you know, right?
Yeah, be exactly. Same. It would be a perfect extension of that.
One thing I've never gotten is this the Pinterest and pinning things and not pinning, you know.
Yep.
And my wife Sharon got into it for a while, like pinning recipes or clothes or whatever.
Yep, yep.
But before you couldn't really buy anything, but that's changing?
Yep, that's changing. They're going to have a buy it now type of button, but it works with pay, so you'll be able to actually use your, if you're on the app, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm assuming the way it's going to work is if you have it on the app, you'll be able to press a buy it button, and then you'll be able to use your thumb and your fingerprint, and you'll be able to pay for it with a credit card through Apple Pay. So it'll be like one touch right from the app.
So that would, to me, change Pinterest quite a bit.
Oh, it would change Pinterest incredibly. It would almost make it like Pinterest meets Etsy meets Amazon meets all kinds of things all together, because I think right now people use Pinterest with the thought of it's a bulletin board. It's I'll save it for later type of thing.
Let me say this, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but it's more amateurish.
Well, it is.
Right?
It definitely is, but it's also a way to say, you know, this is a great looking thing of clothing, and I'm going to come back, you know, and I'm going to buy it as a gift later for a birthday present. But this, and then you'd have to go to another website and actually buy it or click through that link. In this case, you'd be able to buy it right there, and then the person that you're buying it from would get a notification right away and saying, click through from a pin, and you're purchasing it.
See, that strikes me, and I'm not a Pinterest guy at all, but that strikes me as the sort of thing where you open up the door and you invite someone in,
yep,
and then they're going to be overrun, and what used to exist isn't really going to exist anymore.
Well, that's true, but there are people that use Pinterest in a lot of different ways, so they would have to decide whether or not you want to use it
and
in
see,
that way.
Since I don't use it at all, I should just keep my mouth shut, maybe.
No, I think you're exactly the kind of person that people want to talk to about that, because, you know, it's like they're always trying to get new people. It's like, what do we have to do to make it popular? This is obviously something people have talked about. If I'm going to save it, why can't I just buy it?
Everything is about wearables, so tell me about the band and the ring.
You know, this is crazy. This is Life, which is one of those companies like CompuServe and Prodigy.
I didn't know they were around anymore.
AltaVista, words you don't even think of anymore, you know? And this company not only is still around, you know, this old search engine, but now they're getting into the whole, you know, Apple's going to release a watch, we're going to release a band and a ring. And, you know.
I get the band part, right?
Yeah.
That's the watch without the piece?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the ring?
A ring is, it's like a stainless silver looking ring, and it uses the remote kind of thing that Apple Pay uses, where it would, like, let you unlock a phone and let you use passwords and that type of thing. And I assume an extension of that would be to buy things, because you use the same exact technology to flash your phone in front of a register. So you would just be able to flash the ring in front of a register.
Scott Kleinberg, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
It's 12:51 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand here. Bob and Marianne are off for the weekend. They jetted off a little bit earlier. Johnny Jett will be here in a second, maybe tell us where. But Amy Guth is in the wings, and she will carry the show for the duration after the 1 o'clock news. But time now to say good afternoon to Johnny Jett. Johnny, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Steve?
Good. So you don't know where Bob and Marianne are, do you?
No, you know, they didn't tell me, but I was in your guys' studio last week.
I know. I was watching you from the studios up on the 7th floor. I saw you on the monitor.
Oh, so, God, I didn't know there was a monitor.
You know, we see everything, Johnny. I don't want to blindside you, but I was reading in Crane Chicago Business today about the fact that airline trips out of O'Hare and Midway are down. In fact, they said if you look at the top 50 destinations around the world, May this year to May last year, they're down 9.1%. Is that a Chicago thing, or are we seeing that around the country?
That's a good question. So I don't know. Are they talking about plane takeoffs and landings, or are they talking about passengers Because one reason might be because a lot of the planes, they're getting rid of a lot of the regional jets, and they're replacing them with bigger jets.
Well, they're talking, they were saying, it's from data, it's from airlines reporting, a carrier-owned firm that tracks the airlines and all of that. And they said that there's more competition, that Americans are a little worried about Southwest Airline, and that United and American are competing a little more at O'Hare, so that they've been dropping their fares that way. But that's not something you've seen as a trend around.
I have not, actually. No, it seems like it's the other way around in other places. So,
well, that's what I thought.
Not exactly sure.
Prices never go down, do they?
I'm going to have to read that article right after I get off the phone with you.
Well, yeah, and like I said, I'm sorry I slapped you with that. I should have given you a warning.
That's okay. No, it's good to know.
You talk a lot about money and deals and bargains and all of that, but you wrote something very poignantly about a flight that you were on recently, Delta Flight 2255 from Atlanta to Los Angeles. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, I had a fallen soldier. I just put it on my homepage, but it was a few months ago. But I was flying. It was like a regular flight. And all of a sudden, we're about 40 minutes from takeoff, and the pilot said, I just want you guys, don't want you to be alarmed, but when we land, there's going to be fire engines waiting for the plane, and they're going to give us an escort because we have a fallen soldier on board. And everyone just got really quiet. You could almost hear a pin drop. And they said, there's an escort on board. We want to make sure he gets off first. The family will be waiting for them on the ground. And it was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. It makes me cry just talking about it.
Well, it almost made me cry just reading about it, Johnny. So everyone on the plane then sits quietly, and the military, the attaché, if you will, who was on the ground, then gets on the intercom and has a message for all of you, right?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he said. I can't remember verbatim, but I took video. So if you go to my website, right on the homepage, you'll see the link. You click it, go scroll to the bottom, and watch the minute video. I had no idea. I just started recording. I mean, I recorded the water cannon salute by the fire department, and then recorded the guy who came on the plane and said the most poignant thing. If you have it in front of you, you can read it. I can't remember word for word. And
I don't have it word for word, but the point of it was that every soldier who falls has a military escort home. And he said to those of you on the plane, he said, and today you helped serve with that escort. You escorted this person as well, which
yes.
I thought was a nice thing.
There was not a dry eye on that plane. I went home and I was sick, and I was like, I just went home and wrote about it. And while I was writing it, I was crying. And that story ended up going viral. That video had over 2 million hits, views. It was just, it's just the most amazing thing. I hope it never happens again, but to be a part of it was, unforgettable.
Well, it was really a nice piece. It was well written, and I would encourage people to check it out on your site. The other thing, though, is aside from airplanes, you took a pretty famous train ride out of Chicago not too long ago.
Yeah, actually last week, just a few days ago, every Thursday night it goes actually from Chicago to New Orleans. Amtrak tows it. It's a Pullman train. So the last two cars are this Pullman train. One's a sleeping car, and the other one's a dining car, which has incredible views. And you go 19 and a half hours to New Orleans, making stops along the way. The only time you have more than 20 minutes to stop is either in Memphis, Tennessee, or Jackson, Mississippi. So it's really just for the ride. The cabins are small, and you don't get a lot of sleep because it rocks, but it's such a great experience.
Now,
and
is that the line? Do they still call it the City of New Orleans?
I'm not sure on that. Actually, they must, because I would think so. But you can buy cheaper tickets on Amtrak, or if you want to do more luxury, the Pullman is the way to do it.
Yeah, as a kid, I grew up near the town of Kankakee, Illinois. So anytime the song "The City of New Orleans" came on, and the lyric is the train pulls out of Kankakee.
I remember that stop. I never heard of Kankakee.
So you stopped for 10 minutes in Kankakee?
Yeah, maybe not even. I think it was just 2 minutes.
Well, I'm not going to make any jokes like that was enough, because Kankakee's got enough going for it. So I'm not going to do that. Well, listen, all right, we got just a second or two left. What should people look for? Any bargains out there?
There's always bargains, so you want to be flexible. If you want to get some good deals for the summer, leaving on a Friday and come back on a Sunday, you're not going to find any really good bargains. So try and use those vacation days wisely. Leave a day early or a day later and come back either on Monday or Tuesday, and you should be able to find some good deals. And also, if you're going to national parks, make sure you make those reservations if you haven't already, because the gas prices are much lower than last year. And also, go to Canada. Canada's 20% off right now.
Oh, you know, my best friend, listen to this. My best friend is in his car right now driving to Quebec City for a few days. And he said that. They're saying it's the best hotels in Quebec City, and it's like 25% off because the U.S. dollar is so strong when it comes to the Canadian dollar.
Exactly. So, you know, going there, everything's just, imagine everything just being 20% off, everything.
And they speak French.
Yeah, well, that's Quebec. I recommend going to Alberta, Canada, which is, you know, has Jasper National Park. It has Lake Louise, which is one of the most beautiful places you ever see in your life. So, yeah, check it out.
All right. Thanks, Johnny Jett. Good to talk to you again.
You too. Take care.
We'll see you next week. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.